I'm Jennifer Hambrick, midday host of Classical 101 WOSU Public Media in Columbus. I'm speaking with composer and percussionist Dr. Mark Lomax about his project 400, An African Epic. Your project is a 12-album cycle of musical works that together tell the story of Black America. Your cycle is sort of divided into these three sections.
Mm-hmm. Past, present, future.
If you would, take it from there and tell us more.
So a few years ago, 2015 or 16, I can't remember, it just occurred to me that 2019 is the 400th anniversary of the first Africans being brought to North America as slaves. And I made some phone calls, sent some emails, some text messages, just asking other composers, musicians, artists, what they were doing, because we only had a few years, and it's, I thought, a historic event, an occasion that should be marked in some special kind of way, and it really wasn't on anybody's radar. So as I started to figure out what it was I could do, the natural part of the narrative was the birth of and the becoming of Black America. Then I realized, after kind of searching through some notes, that it's not okay to start with slavery. In the words of Stokely Carmichael to Kwame Ture, if you start with slavery or some kind of trauma, you cannot extend beyond it or heal past it. So that extended the narrative beyond 1619 to 2019. And I figured the best place to start was when people of African descent were healthy, happy, and whole, in as much as any civilization can be healthy, happy, and whole. And so in researching African cosmology across the continent, I rediscovered that, you know, in many of those narratives, the first ancestor, as it were, is the drum set, or the drum, rather. The voice of the drum gave birth to everything else. So it made sense to start there and record me as a drummer or drum set artist with African drummers, make that connection between the African drum and the drum set, which is a uniquely Black American instrument and invention. And then what? And so I discovered the Dogon people through the writings of French ethnographers from the 30s, and their story is amazing. They had knowledge of deep science, you know, Stephen Hawking level stuff without technology. And they have festivals and rituals that acknowledge this kind of way of knowing that even today we don't understand how they know about Sirius B, and you can't see it with the naked eye. And yet they have a festival of Sigi that happens every 60 years. And then I started to research the Yoruban tradition and the Orisha, essentially. In Christianity, the Orisha would be angels. And so that intrigued me, the deep mysticism that you find all over the continent. So we go there. And then a friend of mine, Dr. Daniel Black at Clark, Atlanta, wrote a book called The Coming. And the book profoundly impacted my thinking about storytelling. And I had to write a piece based on that book. So that took care of the pre-colonial African narrative. So we didn't have to start in slavery. And then the middle section of four is the Maafa, Kiswahili term for great Holocaust or tragedy. Four albums there. And then how do we heal beyond that? And that became the Afrofuturism part.
You spoke in some detail about the first section, the beginning of us, mm-hmm. and you mentioned the Maafa, great tragedy. Could you talk a little bit about what comprises this particular section of mm-hmm. your cycle?
So it begins with the ballet for a traditional string quartet and improvising ensemble, tenor saxophone, upright bass, and drum set. It's a ballet called Maafa that takes place, ironically, on a slave ship. I really loved that dichotomy of, in my mind's eye, seeing people dance within the spiritual, really, context of confinement. Because I had to think about how brave people were who decided to die rather than, you know, live life enslaved. Conversely, also the bravery of people who decided to survive because of the future. If they didn't choose that, I wouldn't be here. And so it's a really strange, again, situation to be in where, by all human rights, you have the choice to end your life in the face of such great inhumanity. But by the same token, there are others who see that right as selfish or some other way not appropriate because they have a responsibility to the future. So those dichotomies, those binaries, moving within the constraints and confinement of a slave ship and the binary choice of life or death, and that's the first piece of the middle section.
One of the other pieces in the middle section of your cycle is your work For Women, which is a tribute to women in Africa and the African diaspora.
It's a piece for cello quartet. The first movement is a portrait of Queen Nzinga. Who declared herself the first king of the Mbande people, I believe, if my memory serves me. It's in present-day Angola. And she successfully defended her kingdom against the Portuguese, both on the battlefield as a military commander and with respect to diplomacy. She learned Portuguese. She went into negotiations. She did so many amazing things that we don't always learn in the West that folks in what we would consider third world areas, countries, are capable of. The second movement of that quartet is Ida B. Wells, who I think is fairly well known for her work in women's suffrage and human rights struggle. Who incidentally, I think, filed the first lawsuit for the right to sit in a particular area on a train years before Rosa Parks. So Rosa Parks was a part of a tradition, which I think makes sense, but that's also not the narrative that we get. The third movement brings us into the more recent history with Angela Davis and the work she did and is doing for human rights, to abolish the prison industrial complex and the like. She spent, I think, 18 months in solitary confinement and still came out of there whole and as much as one could. And that's just amazing to me. Her strength, not just of character, but her strength of spirit, which is kind of the through line through all of this work. And then the final movement there is a portrait of Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, the Nigerian author. She is a very interesting intellect to me because I believe where she's from in Nigeria, she would be considered and is considered a radical intellect, being a woman who's taking the stance she is with respect to feminism. But I don't know that we in the West are reading her the way she is presenting. I think we're putting a Western narrative on her story in a way that in some cases could be taken away some of the value of her narrative. I don't know that we're reading her narrative and engaging it in the way that she's presenting it. And so that's a really interesting tension to me, and I try to capture that in the piece. And then the final section of, or movement rather, of the middle section, Ma'afa, is actually a piece I wrote when I was 18 called Tales of the Black Experience. It's the 20th anniversary of that recording. And we wanted to revisit it because it dawned on me that this whole 400 an African epic project came from that one piece. Originally, it was a 10-movement piece for improvising ensemble that went literally from Africa to the rapture. And so we've shortened it a little bit and rearranged it for a smaller ensemble. And then the final section, Afrofuturism, starts with a symphonic work called Uhuru, which is a word for freedom. And then a piece now for solo drum set called Africa United. So we're returning to the voice of the drum. And then Ankh in the Tree of Life. Ankh is a symbol that means life from ancient Kemet or Egypt. In the West, it would most resemble a cross, except at the top of the cross where we just see, you know, a straight line, it has kind of an oval shape or teardrop upside down. And it actually resembles a human figure, and it represents life. And then the Tree of Life is symbolic for a way of being in the world. Both, I think, are bookends to notions of Ma'at, which is an ancient Kemetic or Egyptian system for truth and honor and justice and balance. And then the final piece is called Spirits of the Agungun. Agungun is a Yoruban word for ancestor. So the idea is we start in pre-colonial African history where Africans themselves had control of their destiny, complete control, center of the world for education, learning, arts and culture, economics, everything. Then we go through this period, which for, you know, the Black American existence could be considered the Dark Ages. And then finally, in the future, it's an artistic depiction of what happens when we as humanity, not just Black Americans or descendants of Africa in the United States, heal. Because I don't believe that the tragedy of slavery is just a Black issue. I think it's an American issue. And in order for us to truly be great, we have to recognize our collective humanity.
Has composing this epic been healing for you personally?
Yes and no. So with respect to how I see race, which is a construct, so ethnicity, and racism, which is real, based on a, you know, human created construct. I've been in this work. I've been studying these things since I was, you know, in my middle teens. And so I have gone through the phases of grief, so to speak, for humanity. And then I realized after my daughter was born that I wasn't building community that way. And I started to realize how important words were because they had energy behind them. Our words have power. And so if I am speaking or even performing from that pain and that anger that rightfully many of us humans, period, should have when you see a history that America has, then I can't help anybody. And so I started to read more. And the more I read, the more I studied, I started to reconcile that anger and that pain and that sense of loss, the loss of opportunity, the loss of beingness. So I've had 20 years to really cope and work through that in terms of the racism stuff. So in that sense, it didn't help me heal or process. I had done that work. And I don't think I would be able to compose this type of work if I hadn't done that work. On the other hand, it's not about being vindicated. It's about healing in a way that helps me see that what was given has value outside of me. It's always been in my head, but sharing the idea and now being able to share the music and seeing how it resonates with people from all walks of life, that for me is a personal healing.
Mark Lomax, you are a composer, a drummer, and currently a fellow at the Wexner Center for the Arts. We've been talking about your project 400, an African epic. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.